Mark, beginning with the 9th chapter at the 30th verse.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus and his disciples were traveling along and passed through Galilee, and he didn't want anyone to know about it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." And they didn't understand what he was saying, and they were afraid to ask him about it. So finally they came to Capernaum, and there, when he was in a house, he asked them, "What are you arguing about anyway?" And they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest of them. So he sat everyone down, he called the 12, and he said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." And then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me. This is the gospel of the Lord." Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and his Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's a line in our gospel for this day that reads in part, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." So let's just be honest with ourselves. I don't know about you, but that's not exactly how I've lived most of my life. And that's not really what's happening in our country. And that's probably not what most of us were told or taught growing up. Surely we might have heard this verse before in a Sunday school class, or a church sermon, or even agreed with it. But that's on Sunday, and then along comes Monday, and we go out in the real world, and things change. I call it Monday greatness. And Monday greatness is about being number one, being a winner, being successful. It's about power, control, wealth, fame, reputation, status, and position. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen the losing Super Bowl team dancing around Monday morning with two fingers in the air, shouting, "We're number two, we're number two"? Probably not. I don't remember that. And probably we will never see that. Can you imagine a political slogan about making America last or making our country a servant of other countries? And anyhow, who wants to be the servant of all? That's for the poor people, the uneducated ones, minorities, foreigners, those we can get away with paying less than the minimum wage. At least that's how it often works out today. Being last and being a servant of all, well, that's not really on our to-do list. And that's just really not how it works out today. Being last and servant of all is not something that we're ready to strive for. That's not the greatness to which we aspire. So if being great, holding that number one position, means being last of all and servant of all, well, you know what? We've completely misunderstood what greatness is all about. And the disciples, well, they don't understand this whole issue any more than we do. "What were you arguing about along the way?" Jesus asked the disciples. Oh, they turned silent. For they'd argued with each other about who was the greatest. And Jesus, he didn't get a question out of an answer out of them. All he got was silence. It was the silence of having been caught, found out. Jesus isn't asking for his sake, but he's trying to give them an understanding. He seems to have already known, he understood where they were going with this argument. Their argument happened on a public road, out in the open. But his question, however, is asked in the privacy and the interior space of a house. And so this is more than about a change of physical location. Jesus is trying to move this question inward to get people thinking about themselves. He's not gathering information for himself, but what he is doing is he's inviting the disciples' self-reflection on what it means for them to be great. He's presenting the disciples with an image and the reality of their better selves, and he's doing that simply for us as well. Jesus is not saying we should not or cannot be great. He never says that. Rather, what he does say is he's asking us to reframe, to look again at our understanding of greatness. What does it mean and what does it look like for you and me to be great in this world right here? That's the big question. Jesus answered that question by taking a little child in his arms and saying to the disciples this. He says to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." Now, I want us to be a little careful here. Jesus doesn't say that greatness is in being a child, and he doesn't say that greatness is being like a child. Greatness is in welcoming that child. Now, that doesn't sound very difficult or challenging to us. Who can't welcome a little child? But Jesus isn't talking about the child. He's talking about what a child represents. We've so romanticized and sentimentalized children and childhood in today's culture that it can be a little difficult for us to get across what it means that Jesus is trying to tell us. A child is a symbol of something. The child is a symbol of vulnerability, powerlessness, and dependency. The child in Jesus' day had no rights, no status, no economic value. The child was a consumer and not a producer. Greatness, Jesus said, is in welcoming and receiving into our arms one child like this, regardless of his or her age. Greatness is found in what we have accomplished, is not found in what we have accomplished and gained for ourselves, but in what we have done and given to the least of these. The hungry, the thirsty, the naked, the sick, the imprisoned, the symbolic children of our lives. So think about a family member or nurse's aide who bathes someone in a hospital, changes and cares for an elderly individual, the sick, the dying, or she or he is, for that person who does these tasks, is indeed a great one. Greatness never puts itself in a position of superiority over someone else. It's not about me, my nation, my tribe, my people, my religion, my politics, my bank account, my house, my job, my accomplishment, my reputation, my status. Our greatness is revealed in our service and in our care of others, regardless of their willingness to pay or repay or return the favor. When Jesus talked about loving others even when they don't love us, doing good to those who do not do good to you, lending without expectation of repayment, and inviting to supper those who cannot invite you back, That's where he's talking about greatness. Greatness comes to us when we share with others who have nothing to share with us. Think of a small boy. That small boy, remember several weeks ago we read the story of the small boy who had the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and he shared it to feed the 5,000 people who were there and had nothing to give but their hunger. That child was great. And so that is the way it is for us. Greatness comes when we forgive someone who has neither asked for our forgiveness nor changed their behavior. Those who refuse to carry bitterness or envy towards another, now that's a great person. When we respond to the needs of others, when we refuse thoughts and actions of hatred or prejudice, that's where greatness comes. I think of Martin Luther King. His greatness was in his ability to set aside what had been done to him and to focus on others. When we respond to the needs of others, when we refuse thoughts and actions of hatred or prejudice, man, that's greatness. Our refusal to objectify the opposite sex or to join in jokes about minorities or foreigners, that's an act of greatness. When we overcome fear, when we tear down walls and we make room for someone who is different from us or vulnerable in need, that's when we encounter our own greatness. Greatness is not something to be achieved. It's not something we earn. It's a quality that arises within us when our lives are in the balance and we bring our better self forward. That's the life Jesus offers us today. And that's the life we ought to want to live. I want to be great, don't you? This kind of greatness happens in the simple, the ordinary, and mundane. And often it goes unnoticed and unnamed, but it's there nonetheless. Greatness is always a choice we are making. So I say to you, choose to be a servant of others as your choice. Let your greatness show in your giving. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ our Lord. Amen.